There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 611, December 7th, 2012. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly is brought to you by an old friend, Yahoo Ads. Click on them, you know you want to.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Hamilton says, I'm getting homesick and I may want to go back. HRT is gone, and who's next? Lotus says goodbye to the IndyCar series and Motorsports Mondial with the Swami, the King, Abdul himself. Nasser Hamid, and we've got a special interview with George Russell. Nass, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Nice to see you're so excited. It must be that email we both received from Steve Fobb today.
Exactly. Nice to see him missing us, wishing that he was back in the studio, but that's the way it is. Once you're gone, the door is shut.
Oh, wow. We don't have a Willie Horton revolving door?
No, not here, Nasser. Not here. But, wow. You know, I had a dream that Fernando was world champion.
Oh, not again. Not again.
What's going on here? I just can't get it out of my mind. But, no, I was wrong. We have the Race of Champions coming up, and it's all Vettel this, Vettel that, Vettel this.
Schumacher this, Schumacher that.
You know, yeah, the Germans are going to fight to the death. Fascinating, but that should be a great race. I don't know when they'll play it for the Americans. Probably in the middle of the night, back in 2013, January or February.
And this is in Bangkok, right?
Correct. Thailand.
Thailand, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's going to be an exciting event. I'm going to try to stream it myself. I think you can stream it on the Race of Champions website.
Now, you told me once they gave a shout-out to F1 Weekly, right?
Back in 1944.
No, seriously, at one time they did, right?
When they did.
Yeah.
But that was a long time ago, Nasser. Yeah. That's when we were respected.
Oh, you mean they're dissing us now?
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
Well, it's all jealousy, you know. Once you get successful, everybody wants you down. But anyway, quickly, I want to thank everybody who's ordered a calendar. Because, you know, this sustains the Palatial Studios. Without this annual drive, this is our march of quarters, we might say.
More like 1595.
That's exactly. But still, I want to thank everybody who's ordered. And if you just recently ordered, they go out in 24 to 48 hours. So be patient, and Santa will deliver.
And if you're in the U.S., they are coming most of the time by priority mail. So it's pretty reliable. If any issues, please let us know. And again, thank you for your support.
Exactly. Nass, so what have you been doing with your time off? And what kind of racing are we looking forward to?
Well, I am looking forward to a lot of motorsports. First of all, there's a lot of driver movement, which we would talk a little bit about here. And I want to see what happens with Romain Grosjean. I am very, very excited about the upcoming Dakar Rally. And Nasser Al-Attiyah and Carlos Sainz are driving a California-built buggy, so that's exciting. Both of these gents are ex-winners. And then Daytona 24 Hours is coming at the end of January, and moi is hoping to go there. And I want to see cousin Felipe Nasser race there. And he'll be teamed up with Nelson Piquet Jr. And there was some news coming and going. I even asked Jos Verstappen about it, that some Dutch group or some Australian group is going to resurrect the A1 series and call it the A10 World Series or whatever. So I've been waiting for that information for a while, but I think it's going to be waiting for like Jimmy Hoffa to return on that series. So I may have to face the music on that one and move on to another tune. So that's what I've been doing. And of course, February is Daytona 500.
My favorite.
Absolutely.
No, that's going to be exciting. But let's get back to Romain Grosjean. Pretty surprising that Lotus hasn't finalized their driver lineup. And I think there's a good chance D'Ambrosio could replace Grosjean. Grosjean has been a liability, lots of crashing. Other drivers use that to intimidate him on the track. And even when it's not his fault, it's just a pain in the bootay.
Yeah, you know, Romain is on the rails. Lotus has confirmed, like you said, Kimi Raikkonen, and decision is expected anytime now on his teammate and Romain Grosjean. And I still remain a fan of Romain because he has done very well over the different series he has been in. He's hoping for another full season after a speedy but erratic 2012 season. It's Friday night. What do you expect? The one-time Geneva banker out-qualified Kimi 10-9 in quali. So, you know, that proves something. And Kimi's no slouch, as we all know. You just have to leave him alone. But his on-track shenanigans have not gone unnoticed by Eric Bouyer and the others at Jenny Capital-owned team. And here's the thing. With those crashes, he has cost his team a lot of points. And points means millions of dollars. So even though he is managed by them, Eric Bouyer and the Gravity Management, and so is Jerome D'Ambrosio, the only way, if they have to make a choice between these two, they will have to go with Kimi unless they want to take D'Ambrosio out of spite. You know what I'm saying? But I think, you know, there are a lot of other people, Kobayashi, Kovalainen, other people who may bring some money. So we'll see. I will not be surprised if they retain Grosjean. They have to give this kid. But, you know, he's basically asking for a third try to make it in Formula One. And that's, you know, you are very lucky to get a chance. Second chance, I mean, you have to be a Michael Schumacher or Kimi Raikkonen to get a second chance. So let's see what happens. Now, this year he collected only 96 points, finishing 8th in the championship behind Massa, who was able to score 122 points, while his teammate, Mr. Kimi Raikkonen, finished 3rd, which is very impressive for a guy who was out for a couple of years, and he had 207 points. And again, I'm just hoping that Grosjean, like Nico Hülkenberg, has won a championship in every series. Some of those championships have been very impressive against good competition. Just as an example, Sebastian Buemi ran with him in F3 Euro Series and GP2. Romain Grosjean always had his number. So let's see what happens.
No, I agree. Now, HRT is going to be going out of business. And sometimes, if Bernie Eccleston likes you, he will help you stay in business and stay in Formula One. He's done it a number of times in the past. But there's no sign of that this time. To me, and this is pretty rare when a team is unable to get sold and basically goes bye-bye. I'm sort of saddened by it because that means we're only going to have 22 cars on the grid, even though HRT, I mean, let's face it, they were 3 or 4 seconds slower than the rest. Marussia says they've already gotten their new car designed. They're on their way, and they will pay their entrance fee. So what are your thoughts on HRT? Are we going to miss them? Is it sad? Should have they been sold? Should have they started looking for a buyer sooner?
Well, we don't know how long this thing was going on in terms of looking for a buyer behind the scenes, but looks like it hasta la vista to HRT. The team is pretty much dead as a dodo, but if mucho dólares are found, the team can reappear in F1 with express written consent of all teams now that the FIA deadline has passed. Now, interestingly, according to this week's Autosport, courtesy of Mr. Peter Brazier, Chavsky, also known as Colin Colas, the ex-Romanian dentist, is working behind the scenes to revive the team, and he already saved the team when they first appeared on the Formula One circuit. Now, this may turn out to be more rough and tough than doing a root canal for Antonio Liuzzi, who has driven for him, as you know. The team started 56 races, and 7 drivers took their turn to showcase their talent. And look at the lineup. Karun Chandok and Naren Karthikeyan of India, Sakon Yamamoto of Japan, Christian Klein from Austria, Bruno Senna, Brazilian, the aforementioned Liuzzi, and local hombre Pedro de la Rosa. You know what I was hoping is, because, you know, even if they have 4 cars, it will be hard to notice them. But we want to see teams stay in business. So I was hoping that somebody may bid for it, maybe like, you know, David Richards from ProDrive, or, you know, they had this U.S. Cypher group, and some, there's no shortage of money here. So maybe some American consortium would come in. But I think what's going against them, they are not based in England, which is the hub of motor racing. So I don't think they want to get involved with buying a team in Madrid, moving it to England, paying off the debts and this and that. So let's see what happens. But, you know, death in the family is always sad, yeah. even if it's a black sheep of the family.
Well, I was hoping that, you know, that USF1 still has that empty building in Charleston. And I was thinking Ken Anderson.
Charleston or Charlotte?
Charlotte, Charleston. I, you know, I don't know.
It's the Carolinas.
Yes, it's somewhere over there. And I was thinking Ken Anderson and Peter Windsor could get back together.
Oh, my God. Maybe with Will Buxton this time.
Yes.
He's so excited, you know.
And all they have to do is just repaint the cars. The rules don't change too much, much next year. This could be a low-budget possibility to see USF1 at the U.S. Grand Prix in 2013. Yes. This is my thought of the day.
No, you know, it will be nice to have some sort of a U.S.-led operation like the Shadow, or even Penske ran for a small, you know, short time. But, you know, the money involved is so much. If they have a budget, you know, where you maximum is $110, $120 million, maybe you can get some money from FIA and some big American sponsors, and, or as Peter Windsor like love to say, blue-chip American companies. Like IBM is dying to get into Formula One. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so people know what they do. It's not going to happen.
I know, but I could dream.
Same here.
Yeah, just like Fernando.
He's back?
He is back. Bernie Ecclestone coming out saying that Schumi should have never come back. Somewhat moot point since he's now come back and is now gone. Bernie, I remember you saying how wonderful it was have Schumacher back on the grid for the German fans and what have you, and now he wishes he never came back because he was afraid that the youth might only remember Schumacher for his losing style with Mercedes.
I have to agree with him because, as I once mentioned here, maybe more than once, some years ago I was coming back from the U.S. Grand Prix. Long story short, I ran into this young guy, maybe in his early mid-20s. He was coming back to San Francisco also after watching the race, wearing an everything McLaren. So I asked him, what did you think of Ayrton Senna? And he says to me, I kid you not, who? And I said, Ayrton Senna. He says, I don't know Ayrton Senna. So, and I've had similar experiences at races where you're talking to some person who's been coming there for 4 or 5 years or many years, and they're so involved in what is happening now that they have no, I don't want to say no interest, but no knowledge of the history of the sport. I mean, and there are several Formula One drivers who are like that, too. They have no clue.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so
I mean, it's hard to be knowledgeable like you are, Nasser.
No, I'm just a race fan, humble race fan.
There you go. But still, I thought it was interesting, but during the off season, you grab at anything you can grab, and I think Bernie's doing what I'm doing.
And, you know, I have also noticed going to races, I'm sometimes, I'm even talking about journalists here, you know, to each his own. I've seen where people are covering, let's just say, sports car racing for 20, 30 years. And sure, they know Michael Schumacher and they know Ayrton Senna, but they may not know how many championships Schumacher has or the significance of him arriving at Ferrari with the whole entourage that came. So, you know, every industry is so big and you just get immersed in it that this is your world then.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But what I disappointed me about Michael Schumacher, which I thought he would come back and, you know, be gung-ho, obviously not the way he was in younger days, but I did not expect what I got to see, is that it really is, wow, how good you are. I mean, just as a race fan, you know, when you had the best car, a mediocre teammate, mediocre competition, you were, I mean, a bad day was finishing second. What happened now? You know, it's one of those things. But then again, take any name, Jim Clark, Senna, whoever. Like Sterling Moss said about Fangio, he always put himself in the best available car. Now, if Fangio was driving BRM and Van Wall, there won't be too many championships or victories. So it's you just have to look at the whole picture.
And that's what I try to do, Nasser, every day.
But no matter where you look, the hero, the villain, the supporting actor, it's always the first name starts with Fernando and the last name starts with Alonso. That's where we have a problem.
We don't have a problem, Master. I love all Formula One drivers.
I'm sure you'd, including Lewis Hamilton?
Including Lewis Hamilton. But next year I'm rooting for Kimi Raikkonen and Renault. Even though they call it Lotus, let's get real.
You know that guy's classic. When he was on, before the season started or early part of the season, he was on Top Gear and they had a Lotus car there with all that Rexona and Jenny and Renault, blah, blah, blah. They asked him, Jeremy asked him, who makes this car? Who built this car? He goes, I don't know. It's on the name Lotus or Renault. I mean, talk about a guy knowing where he's going.
Yes, but still, it's pretty much a Renault with a Lotus name on it. Let's face it, Nasser.
Whatever you say, man.
Thank you very much.
I think you see when a McLaren wins. You know, I was thinking the other day, has McLaren ever used Renault power? Probably
not. No.
And for those who are talking about history, those who are interested in history of McLaren power plants, they should read what happened between them and Peugeot. There was a lot of lovey-dovey, and according to Mr. Joe Ramirez, this is from his book, that once the deal was signed, Ron Dennis and who was the guy there, Jean-Pierre Jabouille, I believe, was in charge of their program. He said they could not see eye to eye from day one.
Not only that, but Ron Dennis refused to drive a Peugeot, which they provided for him, and stuck to his old Mercedes. Fascinating.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. No, those are good stories. And there's great stories with McLaren. I believe they, didn't they try to make a deal with Lamborghini and that fell through?
That, we got the inside scoop, what happened there from the gentleman who was head. Yeah, this is another story, folks. If you want to read what happened between McLaren, Ron Dennis, and Chrysler owned Lamborghini, how they had agreed to do a deal, shook hands, and they met at, I believe it was the Frankfurt Auto Show, that this will be all announced soon.
Very exciting.
And then our friend Mr. Francois Castaigne tells us that he started getting calls from his man, who happened to be Daniel Odetto, saying, hey, I hear that McLaren is going with somebody else. A little Francais action. And according to him, Mr. Castaigne had really pissed off the Chrysler board, and they said, you know, they don't want to deal with Formula One and how they operate.
Yeah,
and no. Mr. Bernie Ecclestone called and tried to salvage the deal, but one of those negotiations where he did not prevail.
No, there's a lot of exciting stuff in the back.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Michael Schumacher's story when he was, you know, people talk about the championship and this and that, but even when he was in karting days, the original person who was helping him, he got booted out, he filed a lawsuit, and there were all these things going on. Similar story with Senna and Tolman. And it's a serious, you know, like Ron Dennis once made a comment to somebody when they came to Formula One, welcome to the Piranha Club. This is really a very hungry and thirsty Piranha Club.
That's true, but it seems to me that today's Formula One is certainly much more polite and passive, even though I'm sure as we speak, McLaren is trying to work out a deal for engines in 2014. Mercedes is not a shoe-in for them. They could be talking to Honda. Maybe they're talking to Peugeot.
No, I mean, you know, I think Honda would be a logical choice for them. They had a lot of success with them. And I think as Red Bull winning so much with Renault, I think Renault would be more interested in providing whatever they can for Red Bull. Then knowing the past experience of fellow Francais with Ron Dennis may not be compatible.
Yeah, but Renault did come out and say they are willing to provide engines to one more team.
Who knows, they might.
In so many words, obviously they would prefer to supply engines to a team that has great engineering and success, because Williams, they've had success in the past with Renault. They've won a race in 2012 with Renault Power. They've done much better now with Renault Power. Obviously, Red Bull's won 3 world championships in a row. Caterham has done nothing with Renault and is the talk of the town, wondering what their problem is. But still, I could see... Could we see history in the making here, Nasser? Renault-powered McLarens?
It's anything is possible, but I have a feeling that, you know, McLaren will probably find a very strong supplier either, or a partner, if not Honda. Maybe they'll convince Porsche. You know, Porsche is all Audi and Volkswagen now, and Volkswagen has been pushing a lot all their motorsports agenda, which is good for motor racing. So I won't be surprised if they hook up with a Honda or a Porsche. They're going to go with somebody who they know, A, have the know-how, and have the desire and the will to persevere and make it happen. And they've had tremendous success with Porsche. And again, going back to Joe Ramirez's book, Porsche, when they built the engine, they wanted to play safe, and they told them, we don't want a name anywhere, or it just has to be very small print. But when they started winning, they insisted on bigger signage. And it's just like when Mercedes came with Sauber, it used to be concept by Mercedes, small signage, and then it got bigger, and, you know, rest is history.
Very, very true. Very, very true.
But I one thing I guarantee you, you're not going to see a McLaren powered by Trabant.
No?
Or you know, Yugo technology. That ain't happening.
Well, Yugo technology is, that's on Fernando's car.
Yugo technology on
Fernando's car? Yes, Yugo was a Fiat.
Yeah, I know.
Built in Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
So,
You know what the performance was? It was 0 to Tito in 60 seconds.
That's so beautiful. Poetry, Nasser. Poetry, Nasser. Are we ready to take a break for the Globe, or?
We can do that.
Yeah, and then we'll come back with some outstanding goodie bags. So we'll be back after this brief message.
Attention, music lovers. There's a website that will take you back to the music of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Check out CoolAlbumOfTheDay.com and relive some favorites. Every day, a new album is posted for your musical pleasure. There's everything from current hits to some off-the-wall titles. You'll find artists ranging from the Sex Pistols to Tom Waits. Something for everybody. So come visit CoolAlbumOfTheDay.com. That's CoolAlbumOfTheDay.com.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Duke, the man himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. I've gone from a dude to a duke now.
Well, we're trying. Dude, duke.
It's the Christmas bonus promotion.
Yeah, and I'm trying to mix it up a little, you know, during the off-season.
Yeah, it is. And I was going to say greetings and off-season regards, so you're on the right path.
I mean, I didn't want to use czar.
No, that's okay. That's when we have the Russian Grand Prix.
Yeah, there
in
we go.
Sochi.
In Sochi. Yes.
That'll be so beautiful.
It's going to be exciting. Putin.
You know what happened when the World Series by Renault went to Moscow this year at a new track?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, no water, no electricity.
Oh, I heard about that. I heard it was dreadful.
Yeah, it was.
But everybody couldn't complain because Putin put a lid on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, now we're going to start with DTM, German Touring Cars, driving around for a seat. Pleased to say an old friend of F1 Weekly, Marco Wittmann, who comes from the town of Nürburgring or in the area, he has been promoted to a race seat by BMW. We have followed his career since his Formula BMW days, and I chat with him every now and then. Pretty cool kid. At one time, he was managed by Willy Weber. He actually, what he did, and this is what led Willy Weber to drop him, he was going to, in Formula BMW, he was going to, all he had to do was finish like 7th or 8th, and he was going to become Rookie of the Year. And he ran into, he pulled out a Lewis Hamilton of 2007, so Willy Weber said, Achtung, Wiedersehen. Okay, both Mercedes and Audi are looking for additional drivers. The Mercedes DTM team was at Estoril last weekend, which would be Portugal. Very close to where Dr. Miguel is, and he was kind enough to take me there in September. They had drivers like Bruno Senna, your favorite, Jerome D'Ambrosio, Robin Frains, Mike Conway, who used to race in America. You know, Mike Conway had a huge accident at Indy some years ago, and now he has basically announced his semi-retirement, semi-meaning he won't race at ovals. And, you know, I can understand and appreciate the decision. And also Daniel Junqueira of Spain. Audi hopefuls were testing at the Monte Blanco circuit in Andalusia, south of Spain. They included Carlos Sainz Jr., Tom Blomqvist, Nico Müller from Switzerland, and Mickey Monraz. You know, Mickey Monraz, this kid, I watched him the first time I went to see Kazim Manzoor race in Mariembourg, Belgium, I believe it was 2006. Mickey Monraz was the kid who won that championship that year in that event. Luca Filippi of GP2 fame will be testing with BMW soon. And Luca has done a very good job over the years. And I think I would like to see him get a nice drive with BMW. Or as they say in Germany, BMW.
And of course, David Coulthard is retired. He won't be in DTM. But what about Ralf Schumacher?
Ralf Schumacher, you know, he should also, you know, go fishing in Montana with his older brother. I think they will enjoy that more. It, you know, you need to get new blood in the system and new, you know, new drivers given chance and see what happens. I was reading, I think it was in the Autosport also, that when you test, and I know this is how Robbie Gordon made his name, when they were testing last year Audi, they brought in some experienced driver, and to the surprise of many, Adrian Tombay was a very impressive performer, so they gave him a seat. So let's hope Cream rises to the top in DTM also. Okay, some other driver signing news. Kevin Magnussen will race in World Series by Renault with Dam's team. The A in the name stands for René Arnoux, who is no longer associated with the team. Your hero, Sebastian Loeb, the rally ace, will take part in selected WRC events next year, but will also race in the GT Series with a Red Bull-sponsored McLaren MP4-12C, entered by his own team.
See? Now listen, Nasser. We got a French guy driving a Red Bull-sponsored McLaren.
Yes.
And Red Bull just won the World Championship, powered by what?
Renault.
I am going to put it out there, Nasser.
Please.
Things are happening.
That's good. And I would love to see Renault Turbo back in 2014.
Oh, I would too.
That would bring back a lot of yellow
days.
And white memories.
Oh, quel bonheur.
Yeah. What's got Prost and René Arnoux, beautiful. Okay, young American talent Zach Veach will stay with Andretti Autosports, but will move up to Indy Lights. So we wish him well. And, you know, it's nice to see when you are going through a magazine and this kid is getting an award and this kid is getting signed up. And a lot of these people we have interviewed, you know, a year or two before. So that's good. And hopefully some of us will remember when they have a coach in the F1 paddock. Some of them will remember.
Some of them,
I hope.
Most of them forget very quickly.
Oh, yes. Or they will be told, you know, hit the delete button on this memory bank. But, you know, we wish everybody all the best. Death of a Series. Have you ever seen a movie called Death of a Salesman?
Of course. The book is even better, you know, with Biff.
Yeah, and, you know, the movie, according to Dustin Hoffman, was his best work. It's a fantastic movie. So, you know, it's a off-season, so we have to talk a little bit about other things also. Anyway, No Mas Formula Dos. Jonathan Palmer's Motorsport Vision has pulled the plug on Formula 2 Series. The birth of GP3, where teenage members of Lucky Sperm Club can race in front of F1 team owners, made sure the survival was going to be very tough for F2 and F3. And again, I'm not going to take names, but I love when I'm talking to a young kid who did, according to David Hobbs, diddly squat in karting, diddly squat in other junior formulae, and they are in GP3. And you ask them, you know, isn't this too much? Or however you can put it nicely. And they say, well, you know, if you want to be the best driver, you have to race with the best driver. Best drivers. And I'm like, Romain Grosjean won a lot of races. Sebastian Vettel won 18 of 20 races in Formula BMW. Nico Hülkenberg won in his rookie year in Formula BMW. What have you done, Boudreaux? So it amazes me how, you know, again, I don't want to throw names here, but there were some ladies in GP3. GP3 is about $700,000-$800,000. And these ladies and even some guys, I mean, they have zero performance achievement in other junior formula. And I can't believe that somebody would put out that. I mean, I'm sure it's mommy, daddy. But sometimes you have to ask yourself, you know, is it worth it?
But some people think that they could win on pedigree alone, Nasser.
Really?
Believe me.
When was the last time that happened?
It's been a long time.
Yeah. So, anyway. Okay, now since misery loves company, same day the cancellation of the Italian F3 was also announced. And I think this, I believe the series was on for like 49 years. So it's a pretty sad day in motorsports. And motorsports misery has made it across the pond also, unfortunately. The Star Mazda series, which I've been following with a lot of interest because I know a couple of drivers there, this will also may also disappear as the promoter has announced they are pulling the plug. They are hoping for some rich sucker to come to the rescue. You know, you remember Formula Atlantic? Some years ago when they were going down, some very rich guy, I think from Atlanta, Georgia area, who was a media mogul or whatever, he bought all the cars and he was going to run the series, and I haven't seen those cars since then. And I personally, I would love to see the revival of the old Formula Atlantic series, but with F3 or Euro GP2 machinery. And that would be very cool. You know, since we're on the subject, you know, here, people who promote motorsports, they should really, I'm not saying just copy anything that they're doing, anything and everything they're doing in Europe, but if they use the same F3 cars, Formula 3 cars can be bought, you know, it's not like GP2 car, and train young drivers in this country, whether they are American or some other place, at least when they go to Europe, they will be familiar with the car for at least a year or two here. All they have to do is learn to try. So let's see what happens. The face of motor racing is changing quite a bit, I have to say. Okay, Australian V8. From a place called Homebush, final round saw a victory apiece for GM and Ford. Craig Lowndes won the opening race of the weekend in a Holden Commodore. Will Davison won the season finale in a Ford. And, of course, the 2012 champion is Jamie Wincup. So, MRF. Have you heard of this series, MRF?
No.
Yeah, it's like the, you know, it's, what was it? TSOB or whatever it was, the TSOP, the Sound of Philadelphia. It's the MRF Challenge, a new series in India. And these young kids were in New Delhi at your favorite Booth Grand Prix circuit. And these cars are pretty, I think they're built in India, but they are pretty much on the same design concept as Formula Renault, also in terms of performance. King of England, Jordan King, that is, won the first two races of the weekend. And Connor Daly of Indiana was the winner in the third and final race of the weekend. Miss Alice Powell of UK was second in the race. King leads the championship over Daly by 4 points. And talking of Derek Daly's son, Connor, I think he's doing the right thing. He is testing this week or maybe next week with the AJ Foyt's IndyCar team or Indy Lights team. I think after 2 years in GP3 and his best finish was sixth, I think this is a good move to come into American racing top level and at least get a professional career going. No need to spend $4 or $5 million on another season of GP3 and Happy Doss
and not make it to Formula One.
Yeah, Formula One, you know, even if you're a Formula One material, how many seats are open? And it's so,
I know,
it's so political, you know, it's pathetic.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I'm convinced, like, if you're not winning GP2 first year, in a dominating fashion. Because, you know, if a guy wins, a driver wins the GP2 championship first year with two sprint victories and one feature race victory, trust me, no top team will take him. You have to do a Lewis Hamilton. I mean, just like
complete.
Dominate. Yeah, otherwise it's very hard. Otherwise it'll be a slow boat to Maranello and Woking. And it may never even be allowed to dock. So you'll be sitting on the dock of the bay. Watching the F1 cars go by, the trailers go by.
Wow.
That's going to be pretty sad.
Yeah.
Okay, looking ahead to the 2013 season, thanks to winning races and championship this year, Red Bull must pay only $3.26 million in entry fee, which is now charged on points earned in a season. And as you can see with what's happening with FIA and shutting down the Formula 2 and putting Gerhard Berger in the captaincy to revive the European Formula 3 Championship. You can just see how political this thing is between FIA and Bernie Ecclestone because he owns the commercial rights and also the GP2 thing. So it's going to the old Jean-Marie Ballast versus Bernie Ecclestone type of deal, but somebody who's far more sophisticated than Jean-Marie Ballast. But that's why they are raising all these fees because, you know, the contract that FIA signed was thanks to Max Mosley taking care of his old friend. A lot of people are pissed off about that, it cost the teams a lot of money. Even though they make millions of dollars, they still think it was very one-sided. Okay, shall we talk about Autosport Awards? You know what I'm thinking?
You know, these awards, who's in charge of these awards?
Why?
Because Because I have difficulty swallowing.
Just one case?
No. Two, three.
Well, let's go step by step.
You know me. I'm so sensitive.
Yeah, the Autosport Award. Autosport is a great magazine I've been reading for a long time. And they have these awards every year. And I'm thinking, oh, maybe I should try to go there next year. Sit with the pedigree and see how the other half lives and races.
If I go, I'm just going to heckle them.
Oh, please. Better stay in San Jose.
Okay,
now here, Sebastian Vettel was International Racing Driver of the Year. And my understanding is these are picked up by their readers. And British readers are very passionate about motor racing. And I would say fairly fair. Okay, now, what's the problem here?
British readers don't like Fernando Alonso.
No, I have to disagree with you on that.
You want
to bet? Maybe. I'll tell you why. I mean, for me, Driver of the Year with what he did would be Alonso. But I can understand this because at the age of 25, before Nando got a championship, I think before Nando got a championship, and Schumacher for sure, this kid has won three in a row. And that is...
I have a question. Has Fernando ever won an Autosports Award?
I don't know. We can look into it.
We're going to.
I would imagine he must have won in 2005. Who won in 2005?
Probably...
He dethroned Michael Kimi Schumacher. Räikkönen. In 2005? I'll tell you, one thing I have an issue with is talking about a British reader, not actually a British reader, but a British journalist, Mr. Alan Henry. You know,
I agree.
If I live for 1,000 years, I won't know what he knows.
These people know so much, yeah. And I should just be quiet.
Exactly, but we can give our opinion.
I know.
We're not challenging their authority or knowledge.
I agree. No, and Sebastian Vettel certainly is a shoe-in.
No, tell you what happened. Some years ago, when it was the 60th anniversary of Formula One or some other event like this, he was asked by Autosport, I believe it was Autosport magazine, to name the top 100 drivers. Okay, he put Michael Schumacher outside the top 10.
I remember that.
Now, as you know, I'm not a Michael Schumacher fan, nor am I a Nando fan, but these people are right there. It's hard to slot in between Clark or Senna or Fangio, but they are right there. I mean, how on earth can you put a guy who has 91 victories, which is twice than Senna and Prost combined, 5 championships in a row, outside the top 10? And the only question I have, would he put him in the same place if Michael Schumacher's name was Michael Smith and he was from, you know, Kidderminster, England? That's what I want to know.
That's what I want to know, too.
And that's our rage of the day. No, I mean, people have their opinion, but you know, when you see something, I mean, it's like saying Eddie Irvine was the better driver than Michael Schumacher, just didn't get the right, they didn't give him the winning car, like the physical story. But so that's where I have I'm a fan of motor racing before I'm a fan of any driver or team. So that's, what say you?
I'm just going to keep it all inside now, sir. I'm just hoping that one year we will have the Auto Hebdo Awards.
Oh, they will only have Romain Grosjean as Driver of the Year. They've made him from Swiss to French. Okay. Second, Jenson Button was British Competition Driver of the Year, and Eddie Jordan was there to present him the award.
What a stunner.
Now, does he deserve this over Lewis Hamilton based on this season's performance?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so...
But there are other British drivers.
Like who? Paul Di Resta?
I was just going to say that.
No, he got his cage a little bit moved. If not rattled,
a little bit.
His cage was moved by Nico Hülkenberg. But
Towards the end of the season.
Yes, which was expected.
But they were fairly even in points.
Yeah, but man, if Nico Hülkenberg had not made that mistake, small mistake in Brazil, I won a tremendous win. But I want to tell you something. This is my prediction for 2013. You know who's getting rattled? Whose cage is getting rattled next year?
Gutierrez.
No, he's a rookie, so even if he's rattled.
Perez.
No. Maldonado from Valtteri Bottas.
You believe that?
I think Valtteri Bottas will rattle his cage.
Another Finn on the track?
It may not happen on the first half of the season, but this kid is very good.
I agree. And Valtteri Bottas, we both knew he was going to get the seat And he is very talented.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, you know, it's literally the same thing as Esteban Gutierrez. He will have to really, I mean, nobody's expecting Esteban Gutierrez to go and rattle Hulkenberg's cage right away, but he cannot be sitting in the second half of the season qualifying fourth, five places behind Hulkenberg. That's not going to fly with homegirl Monisha.
Okay.
That's just my...
Okay, let's continue. Okay. Button's the winner for the British driver.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now here is interesting, okay? Button said in his speech, and I quote, "I knew the destiny of the title was in my hands, and by winning, I made a lot of Ferrari fans pretty angry," end of quote. And I want to see how Mr. Brazier keeps his amore for JB next season after this piss-on Scuderia Ferrari. What say you?
I think, you know, I'm just glad Fernando never even showed up to this thing. I don't know.
But, you know...
Jenson Button could be a little more gracious.
Jenson Button, I think he's feeling like, ha, 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 Lewis is gone, this is my team.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, but this guy is good. I mean, you know, for him to be very competitive against Lewis Hamilton, you know, he got my attention, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well. I mean, you know, winning in a race in a car that's far and more superior than everything else, I mean, you know, most drivers will do that. But if you go as a teammate to Lewis Hamilton and you win two races before he wins one, oh boy, that will get my attention. There's no question about it.
The problem with Lewis Hamilton, if there's going to be an accident, he's often involved.
Yeah, but these things, it's like, you know, if they replace Mark Webber with some other driver as teammate to Sebastian Vettel in the next 2 years, and that sucker wins two races before Sebastian wins a race, you know that kid is good, whoever that may be. So it's one of those things. Okay, 17-year-old Jake Dennis, previously interviewed on your favorite podcast. Which one would that be?
F1Weekly.com.
Oh, thank you.
The premier Formula One podcast in the world.
With the host with the most.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, mirrors everywhere.
There you go. Well, Jake Dennis has won the 2012 McLaren Autosport BRDC Award, and with it, a test drive in a McLaren sometime next year. And this kid is very, very good. A young Swiss talent, and this is another kid who came on my radar out of, never heard of him. Next thing you know, he's fighting for wins and winning races. Swiss driver Matteo Tuscher, he was Rookie of the Year. He did very well in Formula 2 this season, and let's see how far he goes. Oh, now, here's another dream and, you know, pipe dream or whatever you want to call it. Nando is Nadia Comaneci. Stefano Domenicali has given his numero uno 10 out of 10 for his performance in the 2012 season. Pastor and Grosjean are happy they are not driving for Ferrari, or he would have referred to them as Tanya Harding of the Scuderia.
But he's right. Fernando did an outstanding job.
That he did.
And he was completely ignored.
By
who? In these Autosports Awards.
Well, I don't know all the details. You know, the thing
Listen,
Mr. Host. You don't know if he was invited. A lot of time, people are invited and they turn down. So I don't know all the facts.
I think they would have invited him if they noticed how well he drove this year. I mean, the guy was unbelievable in a really bad car. That deserves some accolades.
One thing I know. I was reading an interview with the gentleman curator or in charge of the Jim Clark Room, the Jim Clark Museum, and they were asked, the guy said, "I heard Senna once came." He says, "Yeah, he came with Dr. Watkins and showed a lot of interest in the history and asked a lot of questions about Jim Clark, this and that." And this is when Arnaiz was like, had just won the championship or something like that. And they asked him, "Did Red 5 ever show up?" And they said, "Yeah, we tried to get him, but we couldn't meet his demand of $25,000.
Yeah, but Nigel Mansell, that's not surprising. But Nando wouldn't do that.
Oh, Nando wouldn't get out of the plane when he had to sign his release contract with McLaren. The McLaren plane landed at an airport. His plane also landed, and he wouldn't come out of the plane. So the attorneys are going back and forth. So we all have petulance of some degree.
But that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I'm talking about driving on the track.
He did an outstanding job, as Clark Rogers would say.
And if you read the latest issue of Autosport, there is no mention of that. They mention it a couple of times during the year. Okay, I'm exaggerating a little
bit.
No,
you know, the guy did a tremendous job.
I thought he did a fantastic job with what he had. Unbelievable.
I can only think of two people doing that. One with the name of Ayrton Senna, and the other with Michael Schumacher in his first appearance in Formula One. This is not... Most people, you know, I mean, you've seen it, how frustrated Sebastian Vettel was when he was not winning. We've seen how Lewis Hamilton get frustrated and flustered and all that.
But we didn't see that from Fernando.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Thank you very much. I will put together an F1 Weekly Award for Fernando myself.
What will it be called?
Well, it's going to be something exciting.
Will it be silverware?
Nothing like that, Nasser.
Oh, it should be mild blue.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay. Now we're going to end Motorsports Mondial with some musical Mondial and a little tune from the orchestra of Frank Purcell. Please enjoy.
Nasser, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. And as the globe continues to spin, we are now at the stage of an interview
with
Mr. George Russell.
George Russell, man, another young Brit headed for big time in motor racing. And I was going to go and do some write-up on him, but then I went to his website. And if you go to his website, which I suggest you do, pretty nice website, it's www.georgerussellracing.com. And I got to tell you, man, this is what young drivers should go and see before they start spending $1 million of daddy's money. You will see nothing but championship victories in karting every year since 2008. This year, he became the first driver in junior category to win the European Championship 2 years in a row. Very impressive. Our chit-chat was recorded in Las Vegas, where he won 3 heats and finished second in the final event after starting from pole. And he had won this Scusa event last year. So it's a mega talent from the United Kingdom. And hopefully he will keep moving. And maybe he'll be one of us who will invite us to the Paddock Club for a cup of tea.
That would be nice, Nasser.
It's going to happen with somebody. Who it is, I don't know. But we're going to make that happen.
Okay, folks, I'm in Vegas with King George of karting, George Russell. George, welcome to F1 Weekly. How are you today, sir?
I'm very good, thanks. And yourself?
Very good, thanks. Your country, England, is the center of motor racing. Please tell us, what sparked your interest in motor racing?
Well, my brother has been racing for a long time before I was 7 years old. This is when I started racing. And I came to a lot of his racing, and I always wanted to be a racing driver. So this is how I got into motorsport.
Okay. Now, I was looking at your website. Very good website, and even more impressive are the credentials. From 2008 to 2012, you have won a championship or two each year. Which one was the easiest, and which one was the hardest?
Well, all of them were very difficult. But there was maybe the cadet championship we did in 2009. We were going into that hoping to win. So that was less of a surprise when we won. But in 2011, when we won the European Championship, that was a big surprise to us. And it was a very good year for us.
Okay. Is your racing talent pure natural racing talent, or have you learned a lot from going to racing school or getting driver coaching?
Well, I think I got better as a driver just by doing more racing, more testing. The more time I did in the seat, I got better and better. So the phrase practice makes perfect is definitely true.
Okay. Now, first driver to win back-to-back European Junior Championship, which is very, very impressive. And first driver to win Kartmaster Grand Prix in 3 different categories in 3 successive years. Tell us about these championships, please.
Well, the Kartmasters Championship is a big event in the UK. We started off, we won in 2008 in the WTP category. And that was a very good race for us, as it was having a lot of difficulty over the weekend. And also, the year after, we did the Coma Cadet category. We also won this, and that was a very good year for us, winning the British Championship and the Open Championship. Then the year after, we moved into Rotax Max, as we were too young to move into Carefree. And we, again, that was a very good year for us. We won the Kart Masters Grand Prix, the British Championship, and the Formula Kart Stars Championship. So this year has probably been, for the number of titles, has been our best year.
When you raced, there's a lot of racing in England, we all know that, but when you first went and raced on a continent, was the level of competition different than in England, or how did you stack up when you initially went there?
Well, definitely, it was a lot harder. There was a lot more good drivers, and this made it very difficult. Our first couple of races, we struggled a little bit, but we just did more testing, more racing, and we got used to the bigger car, the faster speed, the more grippy tyres. And the more races we did, the best we got, the best my racecraft was against the drivers, the more the drivers had a little bit more respect for me. So this is how the first year went.
Talking of good drivers, who are other good drivers that you have raced against that you would recommend to, let's say, a good team owner?
Last year, there was a lot of good drivers in Carefree. We had Max Verstappen, he's a very good driver. He's here this weekend. Charles Leclerc, he was my teammate for half the year. He won the World Cup. Dennis Olsen also, he was very strong at every single race. So these three drivers will probably be the best three drivers I've raced against.
And your favourite karting track all over the world?
My favourite track would probably be Sarno in Italy. That's a very good track, and also we've had we've done quite well there. We've done very well, but had a lot of bad luck there. But as a circuit, it's a very good circuit.
Okay, you've raced in the United States before also. What is your impression of the racing scene in America?
It's very good. There's always a lot of people here, and the competition is very hard, and I really like it, especially this event. This is the second year I've done this now, and I really enjoy it with the whole atmosphere of Las Vegas. The circuit's very good, and going very close to the walls, so it's a very good circuit for me.
Cool. Who is guiding and managing your career? Are you part of any of the driver development program from managers and teams?
At the moment, we're talking to a couple of people, but it's strictly, I cannot say at the moment, but that will become public as of January.
Okay, cool. And we will be looking forward to that information. Okay, you were born in King's Lynn. I think this is also the hometown of Martin Brundle. Do you know him and Alex?
I don't know him. I know of him, but I don't know him in person.
Okay. Now, are there any drivers in Formula One, past or present, that you admire or you look up as, you know, I want to be like this guy?
Fernando Alonso, I look up to a lot, as he's shown this year. He's definitely not in the best car. He's proven to be a very good driver, winning races and getting the most out of a car wherever he's been. So this is the person I look up to most in Formula One.
Okay. What is the game plan for next season? Are you staying in karting or dabbling in single-seaters?
Karting next year in KF2. KF, it will be called next year, the senior category. And we're hoping to do 1 year in this, then to move to cars in 2014.
Okay. Now, tell us a little bit about George Russell, the young man, not the race car driver, your taste in music, food, and do you like cricket?
Do I like cricket? Well, when I was at England, has a lot of sports over there, football, rugby, and I played a lot, and I really enjoyed sports at school. I had to stop because of if I had an injury or anything, just because of the karting. Karting meant most to me. But I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed playing table tennis as well.
Okay. Finally, how about a message to listeners? We have a lot of listeners all over the world and quite a few in UK also.
Well, thanks for talking to me, and I'll be doing my best for this weekend, and I hope to be speaking to you soon.
Thank you very much, sir.
George, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. So anyway, there you have it, Nass. Of course, calendars are being shipped as we speak. Any updates, any points you want to tell the people on why one calendar is just simply not enough?
Well, they can buy one or as many as they like, but it's, again, you know, like previous calendar, it has a different theme. This year is Faded Glory, great teams of the past. We have the V. Scott Sir Jackie Stewart on cover, as we can see here, in a blue Tyrrell. And this cover photo is from one of the most beautiful tracks of all time, Österreichring. And then we have the Warsteiner gold color Arrows, and we have Brabham in the Martini color, the Matra, the Gitane Ligier, Van Vol. So it's cars from different eras. And as always, a lot of time and effort was involved in coming up with great information. And I want to thank Mr. Peter Brazier on his help this year on this issue. A lot of interesting information, historical facts. So it's more like a, you know, history of motor racing every year for your collection. And we thank you for your support.
Thank NAS, order a calendar, and thanks for listening. Good night.
Bye-bye.